It's time to rejoin our chums at El Pais, and Simon Hunter is back from his four-year paternity leave. Good morning. I believe that you personally had a particularly difficult birth, Simon.
I did. No, I milked it for all it was worth. Just on the off chance the Catalan crisis would be over by the time
I... But sadly not. No, well, firstly, congratulations from us and all our listeners to you. Well done,
Thank you very much. Done. It's a Fantastic. Very special time. I was woken up this morning by being punched in the face by my three-year-old, and then the newborn started crying. So it's
and
a very,
that,
very
I mean, that's saying nothing of what the missus did. Right, sir, as you mentioned, Catalonia, a catch-up, please. There's still stuff going on. In fact, only today there's news stories about it all.
Ah, here we go.
I know.
So, yeah, I mean, actually, some breaking news. It looks like Carles Puigdemont, it may be throwing in the towel.
Now,
just as a quick reminder, Carles Puigdemont was the ousted premier of Catalonia. He was thrown out of his role by the government under Article 155 after the unilateral declaration of independence was passed through the Catalan Parliament. He then absconded to Brussels, where he's been ever since. And basically, as we all know, the central government ran new elections. Again, no clear winner, but
no.
The pro-independence parties managed to cobble together enough of they've got enough seats basically to form a government. So it was all set yesterday for an investiture vote, at which Puigdemont was going to be the candidate to be re-elected as premier. And if the vote had gone ahead, all things being equal, he would have been voted back in as the premier of Catalonia, which obviously was going to be hugely problematic for the Spanish state and for everyone in general, considering he was going to try and run the region via Skype. It does beg the question of what on earth the Catalan regional government actually does. You know, the fact that it's been basically on an autopilot, you know, since late last year.
Good point.
This guy was planning on running the show from Brussels. But anyway, I digress. So what happened yesterday was that we've got a new Speaker of the House in the Catalan Parliament, who's a man called Roger Torrent, who we feel was straight out of the pages of Viz.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Sort of Viz character. And he came out yesterday and basically said, all right then, well, what we're going to do is we're going to delay the investiture vote. He didn't call it off. He said he was going to delay it because there was a constitutional court ruling at the weekend that basically said that that Puigdemont could not... Well, first of all, I mean, he can't really set foot in Spain because he's at risk of being arrested. He's left a lot of his colleagues, his former ministers in the Catalan Parliament, sort of paying the price for everything that's happened. And they've been in jail been held in jail since, November, awaiting some sort of trial over the independence declaration. So that's one thing. Then the Constitutional Court basically said that he couldn't go and stand for the investiture vote. First of all, he has to physically be there. And second of all, they said that he couldn't go unless he got permission from the Constitutional Court. So
what a mess. What a mess.
Basically, they've delayed it. And now what's happened, the story that is breaking now, Telecinco, the TV network, Channel 5 has got these has basically got a picture of some texts that Puigdemont is supposed to have sent, basically saying it's all over, the government has won, and we've been, you know, but we, and specifically me, have been sacrificed by our allies.
Mm.
So what that could mean now is that finally this farcical situation could come to an end. The one thing that we've consistently said about this story is that every time you think it couldn't get more surreal, it takes another bizarre turn. And that's what we were sort of looking at this week, with the prospect of, you know, someone running a regional government via Skype or while wanted by the Spanish authorities. I mean, you know, talk about farcical. They've had to up the security, and what a waste of money. They've had to up the security on the French border, you know, because of the possibility of Puigdemont, slipping back into Spain. They've been checked. We saw photos yesterday outside the regional parliament building of the police checking the boots of taxis just in case there's Catalan politician hiding in there. I mean, it's just the most bizarre situation. So what they'd done, the move yesterday by the speaker basically bought them time.
Right.
It risked dragging this situation out even more. So if that story is confirmed today and if Puigdemont is kind of throwing in the towel, then at least that lays the way for for the pro-independence majority. They could present a candidate for the investiture vote who's not wanted by the police, who's not in prison, and who's not as problematic as obviously Puigdemont and some of his colleagues are due to their actions until now. One thing that is also open to another option is that the Prime Minister, under these powers of Article 155, he could call new elections, basically. But to be honest, what's that going to do? We've had two elections in the last, about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And they've both returned a no clear winner, but they've at least returned a pro-independence majority. So it's not over yet, but let's see what happens today. It's going to be interesting to see what Puigdemont actually does.
Very interesting. Breaking news. Okay. King Felipe, 50 years old.
Yeah, and actually this is quite interesting because it's still, well, like everything at the moment, it's still connected to Catalonia. But yeah, it was King Felipe's 50th birthday yesterday. Interesting to kind of, you know, time to sort of reflect on him as a king and as a person and how he sort of fits into Spain. It's an interesting fact that I hadn't thought of until I read it yesterday, but he's the first Spanish king to have actually sworn on the 1978 constitution, because his father, of course, Juan Carlos, was appointed by Franco. As your listeners probably know, Juan Carlos played a very important role in the transition from Spain from a dictatorship to a democracy, not least when he took charge during that attempted coup in 1981, famously when the Civil Guard stormed the Congress building, held deputies hostage for a night in there, and he appeared on TV and diffused the situation. So if we're comparing Felipe with his father Juan Carlos, and then really this Catalan crisis has been his biggest moment until now, and probably his biggest moment was when he went on television when everything was kicking off back in October. And I think probably his father Juan Carlos was a bit more of a sort of maybe a bit more of a mediator and a bit more of a struck a more of a conciliatory tone in the past, but Felipe was actually very sort of hard line and said, okay, no, this, you know, what the Catalan government has been doing is completely unacceptable, and we have to stick to the constitution. And it's interesting to see what that's done to his popularity, because obviously in Catalonia it went down like a did not go down too well. Sorry, I can only think of a metaphor. That
no Christmas cards be going to him from Catalonia. No, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in fact, yeah, you should say that his Christmas address was seen by 63% of viewers in Spain as a whole, compared with just 39% in Catalonia. So not surprisingly, not very popular in Catalonia. Mm. But interestingly, his support levels are pretty good amongst most age groups and social classes in Spain. He enjoys support of left-wing voters, right-wing voters. There's a quote here from someone from a polling company that says, ideologically, there are very few Spaniards who are royalists, in the sense of preferring a head of state who inherits the post rather than being elected to it. But most Spaniards are pragmatic, and they value the way that Felipe VI does his job. This week they've kind of gone on a bit of a charm offensive as well. They've released videos of their family life. He famously married a divorced TV journalist, a woman, Leticia Ortiz, who used to read the news on the main state channel on TVE1. Big wedding in 2004. They've since had two daughters, and they've kind of gone on this big offensive this week, releasing pictures, very, very sweet pictures of their daily life. And, obviously maybe trying to just kind of bolster their position within Spanish society. Because interesting, I think it's fair to say, given Spain's history, I think it's fair to say that the Juan Carlos was very much respected and the press laid off him. But I think it's probably fair to say that in a large section of Spanish society, the royal family doesn't have a place in their hearts as the way the British royal family does, for example.
Yes.
You kind of see that on the day of his proclamation, his coronation. The crowds were nothing like they would have been, if it was the equivalent situation in the UK. But it's interesting to reflect on where he is and also, how he will continue to play a role in this ongoing political crisis that we're facing.
Interesting. And finally, nobody will have not heard of the Me Too campaign, and there's a Spanish version of it gathering pace.
Yes, this is really interesting. I think actually this could be a massive story when it finally kind of properly breaks. What's happening at the moment is there's this group on Facebook. It's a private group on Facebook called Pandora's Box, and it's made up of about 3,000 Spanish women who work in the arts. And in a private chat group, what they've been doing is kind of compiling reports of sexual abuse, of sexual harassment within the sector, denouncing intimidation, abuse of power, and sexist attitudes. And it wouldn't be unfair to say that in some areas of Spanish society that sexist attitudes and general harassment. I mean, I've seen some things.
Yes.
I've seen some things in certain workplaces that you just kind of think, Yeah, I think that would probably warrant a trip to human resources.
Yes.
So obviously inspired by the Me Too movement, this particular Spanish movement is gathering pace. It started last summer after an artist called Carmen Tomé. She accused a curator, Javier Duero, of sexual harassment. He apparently groped her in a bathroom. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but it's the next bit that makes me chuckle is that apparently, according to her testimony, he came back half an hour later and apologized and said that he had spent a long time without seeing his partner and he was going crazy, as if that would justify randomly groping a woman in a bathroom. And he's denied everything. The case remains open, but the key thing is that this group is supporting her in her court case. They made a statement yesterday. They appeared on the steps of the Reina Sofia Museum yesterday in Madrid, and they made a joint statement. They're not taking any – this is interesting as well. They're not taking any questions that they answer spontaneously, because any questions from the press, they actually agree on – among the 3,000 people, the answers have to be agreed on. So it's a completely sort of democratic group at the moment. But they came out and made a statement yesterday. They say that they're taking their time – in terms of what they're preparing, because they want to be ready. They cite examples where people have denounced harassment in universities, for example, in mm-hmm. the past, and then have either lost their cases or won their cases, but then had to continue working with the person who assaulted them. So it looks like they're being very prudent at the moment. But yeah, I think once this story breaks, it could be pretty interesting in terms of who is named and shamed.
Yeah, absolutely. Watch this space. And I imagine that you'll be hoping that the bosses at El País don't follow the BBC's ruling now that BBC journalist pay is going to be capped at £320,000 a year. That would be devastating for you, wouldn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I would be deeply upset. I'd be deeply upset not to reach that level.
Okay, so where do we find more on those stories and all the others?
Yeah, you can go to the El País website. If you just Google El País English Edition, you'll find us there. And if you do the same on Twitter and Facebook, you can find our social network feeds too.
Fantastic. Simon, thanks. Nice to have you back, sir.
Great. Thanks for being
Cheers,
here.
Cheers, Em. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Bill. Bye-bye.